And you get to the depths of mercy, and yeah, it becomes kind of meaty. But on the surface, it's very simple. We are yielding ourselves to God. You know, we only make it complicated by our own sense of we know something. We think we're, you know, and that's the thing I run into a lot is pride of people who think, oh, I know the word. Paul, you don't know, blah, blah, and they want to argue. They don't have any business arguing with me because they don't know anything. And I know because they open their mouths and I listen and I'm like, this guy is an ignoramus. He doesn't know what he's talking about. And he wants to argue with me. And I argue with him only for the sake of some who might read that and it might turn their hearts. There might be someone, maybe even that person, right? But I don't go into it thinking, I would not do that for one person, because it says the heretic, after the first, second and third admonition, reject. You know, and I have no problem rejecting people who I realize this is not helping. Right? We've got to move along. I've got work to do. I don't have time to waste with rejects. He is a babe. I'll tell you what, those people like that, they're not babes. They're like deformed creatures from another world. A babe is someone who's born new in Christ, ready to receive a newborn. In Paul's time, he did not run into what we have a lot of, though there are hints at it, you know, the false teachers that were coming in. He lived in a world where he went out preaching the gospel to people who had never heard it. I have to go out into a world preaching the gospel to people who think they know all about it. And the only people who are even interested in that what I have to say are people who know so much about the word that it makes it hard for them to hear what I'm trying to say. That's what I'm up against. And people who don't want to hear it, they reject hearing me because they've already rejected all the false voices out there that are saying the same name, Jesus, but make such a difference from the truth. It is such a difference. And it is a pitiable state of affairs. But you want meat? We're going to get to meat. The Gospels are very meaty, I think, with all the parables and stuff. I'm excited to do that. I really am excited to get into the Gospels, and I'm also going to do Revelation and the Prophets. I'm very excited about all those. Strong meat belongs to them that are of full age, fully grown up. Meaning, you know, to me that means complete. Full age meant completeness, right? Those who are complete, those who have become a real Christian, basically. Who have accepted the truth. The gospel, the milk, the beginning of their faith. You know, they've received that simple food that has everything that the baby needs to become a toddler or whatever. Or to become weaned, you know. And it's not that you lay aside righteousness and so on and so forth, but it's not something you're like, oh. It is established in you. It becomes an established thing. Never take analogies too far. You know? That's the thing. Milk, you know, you think like, well, what about milk later on? Just don't confuse yourself. Or myself. That's because that's what's happening in my mind. I start to think of things and start to lose it a bit. By reason of use, we have to exercise our senses. You know, we have to use our minds. Senses are the organs of perception to discern. That means to be able to judge, to be able to determine good and evil. We ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Adam and Eve did. And we all inherit that conscience, that tells us good and evil. And I tell you though, people say, well, you know, some people do a lot of evil things. Let's say people that commit some, you know, abominable acts with each other, men with men and so on and so forth, right? Women with women. You know, and you say, well, they don't feel tinged in their conscience. And I understand that, but it's because that subconscious knowledge of wrong has been overcome. And I think that many people would admit that at some point they felt very conflicted about it, right? And they overcome it. You know what I mean? And the same thing with, you know, I don't want to leave that subject. They overcome that. Or society as a whole comes in and tells them it's all right. But I'd say from the beginning, every child knows at a certain age, they come to an age when they just instinctively want to hide themselves. And that can be overcome too, right? I mean, there are people who run through the streets naked without a thought, right? It's because their consciences have been overcome. Their senses have become dulled to what their conscience knows. And I've said a lot of things, you know, the sexual things are exciting because they're naughty. Everyone knows this. Naughty makes it more exciting. You know, that it's bad. So they know it's bad. They know it's naughty. That's what they like about it. We have to exercise our senses to be able to discern both good and evil, to make a clear distinction, so that the proper choice is made. Because that's what we, in Christ, we are seekers of virtue, seekers of righteousness. We need to know the difference between good and evil. We need to know the difference between sound doctrine and unsound doctrine. We need to know the difference between a true teacher and a false teacher. And I tell you what, it's not going to come by being lazy. It takes work. Labor to enter into his rest. Labor that you may discern. All this stuff takes work. It all does not just come. I said it all. I mean, you can have elements when come to you in the spirit by way of gifts, where you just a gift, you know? I've obtained many things through gifts. And other things through work. Exercise your minds. Exercise your senses. And you'll know the difference. Don't let your conscience, as Paul says, of some whom their conscience is seared with a hot iron. And that way, the idea is it loses all feeling. But they can deny their consciences. And they can ignore their consciences. And their conscience's voice must be very weak. You know, people who murder without conscience, they don't really murder without conscience. They murder in spite of it. They do things in spite of what their conscience, and their conscience may be very strong and very quiet. Because at some point earlier in their life, it was damaged or quelled or made to be silent. But it still exists. It still exists.